So hello and welcome to GAA Weekly, the All-Ireland Camogie Final podcast for the 42's members. There you have it, Kilkenny are 2022 senior champions after a 113-112 win over Cork yesterday. Emma Duffy here subbing in for Morris Brosnan, who's off on holidays enjoying a well-deserved break. All I'll say is if I do half the job Morris has done all season, I'll be happy out. But thankfully I'm joined on the line by Kevin O'Ryan, who was in Crow Park for us yesterday. Kev, how's the form?
All good, Emma, yeah, all good. Very enjoyable day yesterday, really exciting game. So yeah, looking forward to getting stuck into it.
Good stuff. Kev, just before we get stuck into the action, I think it's important, I suppose, that we mention the tragic passing of Tipperary hurler Dylan Quirk on Friday night. So much shock and sadness among the GAA community. There was a really poignant minute silence for Dylan at HQ yesterday, along with Antrim's Lily Spence, former president of the Camogie Association. And we here at the 42 just wish to extend our condolences to their families, and our thoughts are with them at this really, really difficult time. Brian Dowling, Kilkenny manager, paid a brilliant tribute to Dylan, in particular, to RTÉ post-match, and we certainly echo all of those sentiments. And I suppose, Kev, it feels a little bit weird to be talking about a match amidst all this, but I think maybe thinking back to Jurgen Klopp, what he said amidst COVID, that football, or I suppose camogie in this case, or just sport in general, it's the most important of the unimportant things in life. And I think that was kind of best seen yesterday. It was just a typically titanic battle between Kilkenny and Cork, the second half in particular, but the Cats got the cream and reigned supreme once more, didn't they, Kev?
Yeah, they did. And as I was saying, it was, I think, like, the first half probably took a while to get going because Kilkenny obviously started so well, and for a while there you're thinking, are we going to get a game here at all? And then Cork come roaring back in and they're level by half time, and I just thought the second half was outstanding. The quality was just really impressive from both teams. I think there was a 30 minute spell in the second half, or a 30 minute spell where nine points went over, and it just seems to be tit for tat from either side. Whatever Kilkenny scored, Cork would come back straight away. And then, you know, you had Cork sort of seem like they were going to see it home, Kilkenny get the late goal, and then there's a pressure free to win it as well. So it was probably a game that had a bit of everything, and just I think it was a great advertisement for the game, as a spectacle, just the quality on show, the skill levels and the score taking, and Denise Gall holding her nerve then with the last minute pressure free, and then you had the drama with Aisling Thompson shooting wide. So just a really exciting game.
Yeah, just on that, Kev, like, do you think a draw might have been a fair result? Like, it really was tit for tat down the home straight. Like you said, the second half was just electric, and that late miss from Thompson, had that have went over, we were heading for a replay, and it kind of felt inevitable maybe at times. Like, would a draw maybe have been a fair result, or do you think Kilkenny did grind it out in the end?
Yeah, I can see why people would say that. I actually, it was funny because we were at half time, we were kind of chatting a few journalists, and there was nowhere in the programme that it actually said if it was going to be extra time or a replay. So we weren't even sure if we were going to be hanging around there for an extra 20 minutes or if it was going to a replay. But I thought as well, the referee, he added 4 minutes of stoppage time at the end of the game, and then he played a full extra minute. And I'm not really sure what that minute actually was for. I think there was maybe two stoppages during the stoppage time. There was a free that was awarded, and there was a sideline ball that there was a small bit of a disagreement over who it should have went to. But I actually thought the ref looked like he was trying to play for a draw at the end, and he really gave Cork a lot of time to get an equaliser. I think Kilkenny would have been furious if Cork had actually ended up scoring a levelling point and bringing that game to a replay. So yeah, I can see why people felt that Cork might have deserved a draw. You probably, after the first 20 minutes, they probably were the better team. But they left themselves, I think, with too much to do. But yeah, I just thought it was interesting. I mean, I don't know what you thought about the extra minute that went on at the end of the game, but I just thought, I don't know where he got it from. It just seemed to be the classic thing where the refs seemed to be playing for a draw.
Yeah, my head was stuck in the live vlog now, and I just looked up and it was like 66 or 65 minutes it would have been. Just 4 minutes added on, wasn't it? I can't even remember now. It's a bit of a blur, but I was thinking, yeah, Jesus, should it not be done and dusted by now? But yeah, I suppose if that had to have went over, and it would have, I think it was a replay it was heading for. That's from everything I've seen so far yesterday evening and today. Yeah. It would have just been unbelievable. But the scenes at the final whistle when Kilkenny won it, and I think they probably did just do enough, as you say, their start, like, they were straight out of the traps. And maybe then, just on the contrary, we'll talk about Cork's slow start. Like, it was just deja vu to the semi final against Waterford. I think it was 0-6 to 0-0 on the score before Fiona Keating's 20th minute goal. So Kilkenny were 6 points up and flying it. Like, they had a few wides as well, and Cork could muster very little up against them. So that definitely, I suppose, was, I know, talked about an awful lot post-match, especially from the manager. He couldn't understand the slow start again with Matthew Toomey there.
Yeah, he was completely at a loss to explain it. And I mean, if you think now about management setups and the huge effort and the huge amount of people that are involved in these things, and they spend a lot of time thinking, how are we going to start well? All these warm-ups that they have are designed to get you at a level where you can start the game well. And because All-Ireland Finals now, they're played a bit earlier in the year, the weather's a bit warmer, I think warm-ups are sort of pared back a small bit because you don't want to drain the players too much. But I still would imagine that the Cork team were conscious of, because they went 22 minutes without scoring the semi-final, and to go into a final then, I can guarantee they were saying in the dressing room, we need to start this game well. So to go so long without a score, I think it was just, from their point of view, they just, I don't know why, and I don't think they know why, they just started so poorly. There's probably, I mean, just looking at the way Cork set up, they obviously have Davy Fitz in the background team, and we know Davy likes to play a sweeper system. He did. They used that this season with Cork, and obviously Davy highly influenced that. I'm not sure if there's something in that. Maybe the fact that you're dropping an extra player back and you're sort of inviting the opposition on at the start of a big game like that. It just seemed that the Cork, the ball going into the full forward line wasn't really sticking, and Kilkenny, obviously, Cork gave them an extra player because they dropped back a sweeper. So Cork had Claire Phelan sitting in front of her full back line, and she was a spare defender there, so she seemed to sweep up a lot of ball early on. And Cork just really struggled getting into the game. So I think maybe it's too straightforward just to pinpoint the sweeper system and say that because they withdrew a forward that they just couldn't really get hold of the ball up front. But whatever you put it down to, whether it was, you know, nerves on the day or the way they set up, you know, to not score for 20 minutes, it just kind of filters through a team, the sort of nerves. And they were lucky when they did get the goal, it really just propelled them back into the game and kind of ignited their challenge. But ultimately, you spend so long without scoring, they put so much work to come back into the game. I think the first 20 minutes sort of came back to haunt them in the end.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I suppose that goal, you mentioned that it did spark them to life. Like, the momentum before that was completely with Kilkenny, but then it kind of swung a little bit towards Cork, and all of a sudden we were level at half time. And just another thing on that slow start, I think something I forgot about until just there, like, I think it was McCartan had a go and Hawkeye ruled it out. Like, had that have maybe went over, it could have settled them a little earlier. But then, like you say, once Keating scored that goal, and a fantastic goal it was, they got great joy from, I suppose, running at the Kilkenny defence and bringing the game to them. And then the last few minutes of the first half certainly turned in their favour.
Yeah, and to be fair, they had a goal chance just earlier in the game. So as you said, 4 minutes in, McCartan has that point ruled out for Hawkeye. And then it's Katrina Mackey goes through on goal. And Grace Walsh comes through and makes a brilliant... she makes a brilliant hook, or she just gets across and does enough to put her off. So again, that's 16 minutes in. If Cork get a goal there, they're back into the game as well. So it takes them until the 21st minute. And they did seem to settle the last... Five, six minutes of the half, they managed to pull themselves level. Amy O'Connor's free taking was as accurate as ever in the game. And I think Cork, okay, they play the sweeper system because they have such good athletes, and they've obviously identified that this running game that they have, they have the power to take on teams and to really hurt teams that way. And once they got it going, once the passes started to stick, you could see the power that they had all over the pitch, but particularly in the forward line, the likes of Fiona Keating, Katrina Mackey, and Hannah Looney, probably just really strong runners through the middle. And once they got going, they looked really impressive. And, you know, whereas Kilkenny started so well, and I thought the ball into the Kilkenny full forward line was so good. Miriam Walsh, Katie Nolan and Denise Gall are such talented forwards, and they were all just sniping points at the start. But it was an interesting contrast to two styles. He's had Cork playing more of a style you would see maybe in a hurling game now, whereas Kilkenny were more traditional camogie style, relying on the skill of their forwards, whereas Cork had that powerful running game. But it definitely brought them back into the game, and by half time they actually had the momentum because of the way they came back into it.
Absolutely. And then Kev, the second half, like, it turned into a bit of a shootout, as we said early on. Like, it was tit for tat, it was nip and tuck. He couldn't see which way the game was going to go. Suppose some really good scores, as you said early on, the standard of score taken was immense. Miriam Walsh in particular, I thought she was fantastic for Kilkenny. And then you've Katrina Mackey at the other end, pinging over points from the sideline just under the Cusack stand. But I think the two goals in the game were just massive, massive turning points. And obviously, Sophie Dwyer coming off the bench to get on the end of that in the 58th minute absolutely settled the game, I think, from the outside looking in, or from where I was anyway. I don't know if that was the case in Croker.
Yeah, no, it definitely did. Because I think, to be fair to Cork, I'm not sure, I can't really recall Kilkenny having a proper goal chance until that goal went in. I thought Cork defensively were fairly solid in the second half. It felt like a kind of a game that was just, the second half in particular, resorted to a battle between free takers. So you had Amy O'Connor on the Cork side, who was pinging over the points from frees, and then Katie Nolan for Kilkenny scored four in the second half, and just looked really pinpoint from them as well. So it looked like it was going to be a battle between both of those. Then the goal comes, and it was fortunate the way it happened, but I thought Katie Nolan actually did really well. She took on her marker, and rather than going for a pot shot from outside, she feeds it back to Miriam Walsh, who has a shot, it's half blocked. Ashling Thompson gets a stick to it, and it just falls really kindly. I'm not sure, I think it was Niamh Deely, wasn't it, who had that shot, but just the way it kind of bounced up in the air, like, Amy Lee probably would be disappointed with her failure to deal with it. The fact that she was backpedaling, she might have felt that if she caught the ball, she could have fell over the line with it. So I think, if you're batting the ball back in there, you have to put it outside of, you have to put it outside of the square, basically, to either side. The way she hit it just bounced lovely. And I don't think Sophie O'Dwyer was going to miss from there. So, that was a huge moment for Kilkenny, because I don't think they'd really threatened to score a goal up until that throughout the game. And then just to go back to the free taker thing, it was interesting that Denise Gall, okay, she had a poor day, I think, on frees in the semi-final, and she takes the first free of the game here, misses that. So then Katie Nolan takes over frees for the rest of the game. She scores four in a row, then she misses one. Denise Gall takes one and misses one. And it was one from 35 metres out, so you're thinking, okay, she's missed two now, and she's already been taken off frees once. So now it's the 62nd minute, and they win a free, and she stands over it and takes it and slots it over and really holds her nerve when it mattered most in the biggest game of the season. So you have to give her huge credit for standing up there, because it would have been easy for her to say, look, I've missed one already. I'm gonna hand responsibility over to somebody else. But to nail that free at that time of the game, it just said it all about her mentality, really, as a player, and the skill levels to do that. So I think she deservedly was the player that won the All-Ireland for Kilkenny. And going back to 2019, the last one they won, she was the one that was fouled for the late penalty, or sorry, 2020, and scored that one. So she's been the hero now in two All-Ireland finals, which is not bad going.
Yeah, absolutely. Denise Gall was the next on my list there. Just her heroics down the home straight, because, like you said, the free taking wasn't going the best. She maybe wasn't having the best day, but she backed herself to score that decisive one at the end in a similar position to one she had just missed a few minutes beforehand. And just, I think, credit to her work in defence as well. She was getting back, she was winning balls, she had back-to-back blocks, she was involved in the goal as well. So I think she really, really stood up when it mattered most, didn't she, Kev?
Yeah, and we were asking Brian Dowling about her after the game, and just about the free-taking thing, because it's unusual in a game of such magnitude that you have two players alternating as free-takers in the game. But he said it wasn't really his choice. It was a decision they sort of made between them, because Katie Nolan, when she took over, she was really good on frees, and she just happened to miss one. But I actually felt that she was going to take the last minute free when they were awarded that one. She had been really accurate all day, and she was accurate from play. She was setting up scores as well. So I suppose Kilkenny are lucky to have two players of the calibre of that in their forward line. And Katie Nolan, we'll get to her later. She had a brilliant game. She was given player of the match. But Denise Gall, probably over the course of the season, you would have to say she's up there for player of the year. So yeah, she really worked really hard. She she started inside and she came out and worked hard around the field as well. And I think the Kilkenny attack probably rotated a lot in the last few minutes. They pulled Miriam Walsh out the field. They pushed Katie Power inside to try and get something. And it ended up then that Miriam Walsh was the one who got the ball on the half-forward line and was fouled. And you could see straight away, when she gets the ball, the Cork defence were just, they weren't going to let her get by. And she was hauled down. And that ended up being the free that won the game. So ultimately, you know, Kilkenny have so many good forwards in that attack that that one of them was always going to pop up and create problems for Cork at the end, and that's how it proved.
Yeah, you mentioned Dowling there post-match, Kev. Fantastic quotes from him afterwards. You know, he spoke about the off-field issues that the team has been through the year, what they dealt with off the field. Their journey has been well documented. There was a lot of grief in the camp. There were serious injuries to players, other departures. I thought the headline you went with for the reaction piece, the off-field stuff, was very tough. It just seemed that everything was going wrong. It really did. But, you know, I suppose at times that can go against a group, but at other times it can galvanise a group, and that's what it felt like with Kilkenny. Maybe just what was the mood like post-match, Kev, from Kilkenny first, and then we'll get to Cork afterwards.
Yeah, I think it's a good point what you're saying about how it can sometimes unify a group. Like, the mood was probably, I think it was really a sense of relief from a Kilkenny point of view, because with a few minutes to go, it looked like Cork were going to see this game out because of where they came from. And then they had a 2-point cushion, put a bit of daylight between the teams. So I think Kilkenny were relieved at the final whistle. But yeah, because I always go back to Tyrone when they lost Cormac MacInallan, and they had a few tragedies around that group, the football team, probably 15, more than that, 20 years ago now. But that really seemed to unify them as a group, and it brought them really closer together. And you could definitely sense something similar in the Kilkenny camp. They've had a few, as you mentioned there, they've had some deaths, people really close to management team. A couple of the players lost relatives as well over the course of the season. And Brian Dowling sort of, he mentioned that it all seemed to happen over the course of about a month to 6 weeks. It was just one thing after another. They were just hit with these body blows. And it's a really good sign of a team to deal with all that and to come through that. And you just have to look at the record this season. Like, they've gone unbeaten through the year. It takes a really special group to bounce back from that. And another interesting thing, he just mentioned Grace Walsh gave a speech at training on Friday night, and he said that it had the hairs on the back of everyone's neck just standing up. So I'd love to have been a fly on the wall in the dressing room to actually hear what she said. But you can imagine the sort of thing, you know, that they were probably doing it for a lot of people who were looking down, and people they'd lost over the course of the year. And it's always special for a team when you can go through a lot of tough times like that and come out at the far end of it, and you have a trophy to show for it, and you have a bit of nice memory. And I think that's what Kilkenny did, so you have to give them huge credit for the way they bounced back from all those tough times and the various tragedies they had in the camp. And I'm sure for people like Tommy Shefflin and Brian Dowling in particular, it's just a really special way to end the year, and the people that they've lost can be looking down on them fondly this week.
Well said, Kev. Yeah, I think I heard a lot about that powerful meeting, but like that, I would have liked to be a fly on the wall and heard what was said, because you can imagine the motivation and the emotion. Like, there's obviously no shortage of it going into an All-Ireland final, but when you have something like that driving you, and I know it's something that they touched on quite a lot as well, that there were no supporters there in 2020 when they won last, and obviously they put the 3-in-a-row final defeats behind them. So they wanted to do it for the people of Kilkenny this time around, and that they certainly did. What about the Cork camp, Kev? What was the mood there with Matthew Toomey? I know obviously there would be a huge sense of disappointment and I suppose regret as well. But that rivalry, I don't know if we've really touched on it that much yet, but the rivalry between Kilkenny and Cork is a really special one. And not just is it a rivalry, there's a really intense mutual respect between the teams too. So I'd imagine that was mentioned as well.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. There definitely is. As you said, they've met a lot in big games over the last number of years. It's four finals that they've met over the last 10 years. So they're fairly familiar with each other at this stage of the season. But yeah, from a Cork point of view, I mean, Matthew Toomey was absolutely devastated. He really was. He just looked shattered at the end of the game. you know, you go so close. You with a couple of minutes to go, he mentioned looking at the clock with 54, 55 minutes on the clock, and just thinking we're nearly there. And to lose it the way they did was just heartbreaking. Laura Tracy was there as well, and again she just looked devastated. To lose a final last year in such heartbreaking circumstances, they conceded a couple of late points when the game was on the line, and then it's pretty much similar here. Only they actually got a lot closer. There was only a point in it at the end. So the funny thing was, both games they were really cracking contests, and as I mentioned earlier, great advertising for the game. And Matthew Toomey was asked about this, and he just said like it's no consolation really for them, the fact that they've been involved in absolute thrillers, but they came on the wrong side of them both times. And he just said that he would take a win in a terrible game over being involved in such a brilliant spectacle, but coming out on the wrong side of the results. So it's a tough one for Cork, and obviously they lost the intermediate final as well. So it's a difficult one for them to be kind of to going down the road with two teams having come so close. But they did. The one thing was, Laura Tracy sort of mentioned she did, there was some optimism there because they have had a lot of success at underage level and minor level, and getting two teams to the final here. So there always will be good players coming through in the Cork camp. So they would hope that the experience of losing this game can drive them on. And I mean, they only have to look at Kilkenny, because Kilkenny, as you mentioned there, losing those three finals in a row, would have been a really, really difficult thing for them to go through. And obviously two of those by a point to Cork. So they bounced back, and they showed a great ability to bounce back, and now they've won two titles in 3 years. So I think Cork can only look at Kilkenny, and that has to be the sort of ambition for them. You would hope that they'll keep the squad together. They do have a lot of young players, and they have gone through a bit of transition as well. They've lost a few of more experienced players as well. So you'd hope from a Cork point of view that they can all come back and hopefully get over the line over the next year or two, because I can imagine you lose two finals in a row, it must be a very tough thing to deal with. And it won't be an easy few days for them. But just to touch on, I thought Matthew Toomey he sounded a good note as well when he talked about, I think it was on the Sunday game last night, where he referenced Dylan Quirk, and he said, look, we'll be down tonight, but we'll be okay tomorrow. And just sort of pay tribute to the family of Dylan Quirk, who are going to be going through a really, really difficult time. So I think that was it was a good bit of perspective to have as well, having lost the game of this magnitude.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so important. Kev, you mentioned the Sunday game there. Obviously, a lot has come off, a lot of reaction as always. I think there were a lot of maybe eyebrows raised with some of Paddy Murray's criticism on the programme. Off Cork, obviously, their former manager stepped away last year, and he was on the programme with Des Cahill last night, and he didn't hold back when he questioned some of the tactical approaches that Cork took this year, I suppose criticising the sweeper system in particular. And then just tying in with that, maybe we'll touch on the departure of Davy Fitzgerald as well. We mentioned him at the top there. You know, there was always a sense that this would just be a one-year thing, but he confirmed, I think it was to the Irish Examiner afterwards, that he was gone, he's out the gap, and he has enjoyed the journey and wishes the team well for the future. So maybe just a two-part question there, first on Paddy Murray and what you made of his comments on the Sunday game, and then second on Davy Fitz's departure, and I suppose the impact that he has had on the squad and what he'll leave in his wake.
Yeah, well, I suppose on Paddy, it's probably a natural thing when a former manager is talking about his team in the wake of an All-Ireland final defeat, and they've obviously changed the system a lot. It's been pretty obvious. It's been heavily influenced by Davy bringing back a sweeper and playing a more running game than what would be traditionally used to in Cork. So the thing is, when you come out on the wrong side of a result like this, that's the first thing that you're going to look at, and it's the first thing that's going to be criticised. If Cork had won this game, it definitely wouldn't have got the same scrutiny the way Cork have played, and it may even have been talked about as something that shored up their defence. You know, if that late goal for Kilkenny didn't go in, we could be sitting here talking about how the sweeper system helped Cork keep out the goals against a brilliant Kilkenny forward line, and helped them win the All-Ireland. So, I mean, I do think it's just the way it happens sometimes. A former manager is there and he's criticising a sort of a change in system since he's been there. So yeah, from Davey's point of view, yeah, as you said, it was always going to be probably a 1 year thing for him. I know he's been linked with a lot of jobs on the hurling front. He was linked with my own offer there recently, which I don't think is going to happen. But there are some big jobs up there still up for grabs. There's one in Dublin that I definitely think he could go for. So I'd see him moving back to the sideline in the near future. But it was interesting just watching him yesterday. I mean, you can see. Like, you can say what you want about David Fitzgerald, but he, any team he goes into, the players absolutely adore him, and you can see the bond that he has with the players. He's definitely someone that if you play for him and if you're in the dressing room with him, you would do anything for him. You would run through a wall for him. And there's some great photos actually from yesterday of him wiping away the tears of Saoirse McCarthy after the game. And that was just something small that you can kind of, there's another side to David Fitzgerald probably that we don't see from the outside if you're actually involved with him. I think he does have a closeness with players and they do have a really strong bond. So I'm sure what he brought to the setup this year, being, you know, an All-Ireland winning manager and player and so experienced as a manager in the intercounty hurling game, I'm sure he would have brought a huge amount to that Cork setup. And as I said, the players, all any players that I've heard, I remember interviewing Amy Lee during the league, and she just spoke so highly of him and what he brought to the setup, and just how he's completely different than the person, the persona that he might portray in a game or on TV that you might see in the media. So he actually, I was watching him on the sideline during the game yesterday, and if you didn't know that he was just a coach, you would have thought he was the manager. He was the one that was standing on the sideline, even in front of Matthew Toomey, and shouting all on the instructions onto his team. So he, I know he was coaching Naim, but I think he was he had a huge role in the setup, and I'm sure he'd be a big loss for Cork, but I'm sure those players would take a lot from working with a person of that caliber and that standard as well. And and yeah, we're looking forward to getting him back into hurling, because I think he is missed when he's not giving interviews and not involved in these big high profile games. So yeah, I'm sure he would have found it a very enjoyable experience as well. And he had quotes after the game just talking about how hard Camogie players work at this level and how they probably deserve a bit more backing. When you see what hurlers get in terms of how they're treated, he's very big on Camogie players. The work they put in is just as much as any intercounty hurler, so they deserve to be treated. They deserve to be treated the same. And I thought that was a really good point, and it was just a nice message for him to give as well. That having been involved in the county setup, that he could see the effort that goes into it and the caliber of people that are involved in there.
Absolutely. Touching on the caliber of people, Kevin, just circling back to something we mentioned earlier, player of the match announced on the Sunday game last night as well, Katie Nolan of Kilkenny. I think she finished with 5 points, a few frees, 2 from play, I think it was. There were several candidates that could have took it. Do you think it was right to go to Nolan? I thought she was fantastic, even just in setting up other scores, her work off the ball as well. It's not obviously all about who does the scoring, but she did top score for Kilkenny. What were your thoughts on that?
Yeah, she was really good. It was probably a game where there wasn't one standout player head and shoulders above the rest. And funnily enough, if Cork had won, I think Cork probably had more standout players in a way. There was more individuals from Cork who just played really well. I was really impressed with Katrina Mackey. I just thought her running game, taking players on, some of the scores she took were exceptional. And the score at the end when she levelled with a minute to go in normal time, it was just a big moment from the player to drag Cork back into the game. Fiona Keaton obviously got 1-2. I thought Hannah Looney was really good. Maeve Catalan at the back for Cork as well. And then Kilkenny had a lot of good players, like Grace Walsh. If you just took Grace Walsh in the last 5-10 minutes of the game, she came out with 2 really, really important balls. And she was massive defensively for a Kilkenny team that she was playing in a full back line where Cork probably tried to isolate their full forwards and have plenty of space in there. So she was excellent. Then into the forward line, Katie Power was good at midfield. She missed a couple of early chances. She really came into the game in the last 10 or 15 minutes and probably did a lot of unseen work, set up a couple of important scores. But between Denise Gall, Katie Nolan, and then Miriam Walsh, they were just exceptional up front. I thought Miriam Walsh was probably unlucky not to win player of the match as well. She scored 3 from play. The first point she scored was unbelievable out over near the sideline. And when they brought her out, her ability to win frees really came up trumps with that late free that she won. So she was exceptional as well. You probably can't look beyond Katie Nolan. She definitely deserved it. I think when you take the five scores of the game to finish as joint top scorer in the game, and she set up a lot as well. And I said earlier about the goal, the late goal Kilkenny got when the ball came into her. She took on her marker and fed it back out, and just had the game intelligence to know that a shot from that angle wasn't really on. And ultimately that helped set up the Kilkenny goal. So I don't think it was a game where there was one standout performer. It wasn't like, say, the football final where you had Shane Walsh on one side and David Clifford on the other side. I thought there was a lot of players who played really well. And you can't really argue against Katie Nolan winning that one. And she gave a great interview last night on the Sunday game as well. She seems to be a good character. So I'm sure she'll enjoy this one.
Yeah, plenty of characters down there on Northside, Kev. Just briefly before we log off there, a quick look to 2023. Kilkenny, Cork, Galway, it's fair to say they're the big three. Will they still be the big three next year? I know you touched on it earlier that you back Cork to bounce back and to be right there again next season. Kilkenny obviously won't be giving up their throne that easy, but Galway will be wanting to get right back in the mix, the reigning champions from 2021, and obviously league holders this year as well. So how do you kind of envisage 2023 going? I know it's very, very early days yet and they're not thinking about it. Suppose just recover from 2022 first, but just from our point of view, do you think it will still be a case of a big three? Will the gap be closed? How do you kind of see the landscape leveling out?
Yeah, well, it's probably hard to argue against the fact that it will be one of these big three win it next year, and two of this three in the final. I was just looking back through it there. You've had 10 finals in a row now have featured some combination of Cork, Kilkenny and Galway. 2012 was the last time a team outside of that trio won it in Wexford. I know there's been a bit of talk around this Waterford team this year. They reached the semi-final and big things are expected of them. So Waterford and Tip are probably the two teams that are maybe outside that top echelon that you'd be hoping to make the step up. But Kilkenny and Cork, you can talk about the players that they've lost, but they just seem to always have brilliant players coming through, and they have that depth. It's going to be a big step for someone like Waterford or Tip to kind of jump up into that. And as you say, Galway are going to be hurting. Sarah Durbin was doing a good bit of media yesterday between during the game and then the post-match stuff. So you can see by her that she's just chomping at the bit, and she feels that Galway will be right back up there next year. So I think traditionally Camogie, it's been those three teams, and it's hard to see outside of those three, to be honest, unless someone like Waterford or Tip can make a big leap forward.
All will be revealed in due course anyway, Kev. We'll leave you go there. Thanks for that and for all your brilliant work yesterday as well. And that's all from us, folks. Chat to you soon.